Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. It hasn't been the smoothest summer for Ursula von der Leyen, who was voted in as EU Commission President for a second term in July. She had asked national capitals to put forward two candidates for her new commission, one female and one male, so that she could ensure gender parity in her 27-member college. But some governments have flat-out ignored her request, as other factors are more important to them, such as renewing a trusted heavyweight who's already in place, or respecting various national party political traditions or conventions. In addition to this challenge to von der Leyen's authority, she'll have a major political in-tray to manage once her commissioners are eventually confirmed later this autumn. Indeed, she herself says that the decisions taken in this new five-year EU mandate will determine Europe's place in the world for the next 50 years. We're going to delve into all of that with our guests. Christine Verger is Vice President of the Jacques Delors Institute, and Adina Revol is a lecturer at Sciences Po University here in Paris. Welcome to both of you. So Christine Verger, is this a rocky start for von der Leyen 2.0?
Mrs. von der Leyen, first of all, as you know, was elected by the European Parliament in July with a better majority than the last time. The last time in 2019, she got only 9 votes more than the majority. This time she got more or less 40 more votes, so it's a more comfortable situation. But still, her majority remains fragile. It's composed of the 4 main pro-European political groups in the parliament, the EPP, the Socialists, the Liberals, and the Greens, which was not the case for the Greens in the last time. So, first obstacle, she got it. Now it's the composition of her future team. And as you said, the national governments are the ones who first sent their proposals. And then Mrs. von der Leyen has to compose her team. Gender balance is one of the problems. In the last commission, there were 12 female commissioners. Now, when we speak, only 9 may be female commissioners. It's the weakest number since 2014, so 20 years ago. So probably she may have a problem with this, but from my point of view, it's not the main problem.
Let's come back to the main problem. I just want to get your reaction to all that, Adina Revol. What about this sort of backsliding in terms of male versus female content in the new commission?
Well, President von der Leyen expressed her determination to achieve a gender-balanced commission, and we should recall that the first von der Leyen commission was the first one to be gender-balanced, and we have a president of the European Commission 30 years the first woman was designated a European commissioner. So this is very important. Now, what we should have also in mind, that the process is not yet complete. So the President von der Leyen acknowledged that it will be a tough journey, but she's determined to get it. And she also said that the responsibility of having a new commission lies with the member states, with the president of the European Commission, and with the European Parliament. Because now we will have also hearings in the European Parliament, which are crucial.
We'll get to the hearings. I just want to come back to one point with you, Christine Verger, about gender balance, because this is not just about numbers. It's not about how many women are in the commission, but what jobs and what portfolios they will have.
Yeah. I would like to remind, nevertheless, that the top jobs in the European institutions are occupied by female personalities. Mrs. von der Leyen, President of the Commission, Mrs. Metsola, President of the European Parliament, Mrs. Kallas, the future EU representative for foreign affairs and security, and also, even if it's not formally a European institution, Mrs. Lagarde as president of the European Central Banks. So this is an argument which is sent to those people who criticize the absence of gender balance. The top jobs in Europe are occupied by female. One thing also which may prove to be an attitude of the European Parliament is that the European Parliament itself, this new parliament, has less female members than the previous parliament. And when they elected in July the committee chairs, the parliamentary committee chairs, there are very few female committee chairs. So from my point of view, it will be difficult for the European Parliament to say, okay, there should be 2, 3, 4 more female members in the Commission, because they themselves are not a model from that point of view.
And on the hearings, Adina, you were saying that's sort of the next big thing to look out for. Any particular hurdles or problems that you can foresee in the hearings?
I would like to underline that the hearings are unique in the world. So it's a unique democratic process we have here in Europe. And each time, at every new commission, we have a commissioner, nominate commissioner, who are not passing this very important democratic step. Last time we had 3 nominated commissioners, one of which was the French nominated commissioner, Sylvie Goulard. So this time, it will be a new exercise again, and the European Parliament is going to conduct this unique democratic exercise in Europe, and it's something which is extremely important to bring Europe closer to its citizens.
Christine Verger, so do you see any particular problems, or perhaps candidates so far that you think might be problematic for the European Parliament?
Yeah, I see personally a political problem, a very big political problem, apart from the personalities. There may be 2, 3, 4 personalities which may be a problem for the European Parliament, such as the Hungarian candidate or even the Italian candidate. We'll see. Depends on the portfolios, depend how they will succeed in the hearings and so on. For me, the main political problem will be the following. In the present commission, with the team which will be proposed by Mrs. von der Leyen on the basis of the candidates proposed by the national governments, you have more than 12 EPP personalities belonging to the centre-rights and only 4 socialists and 4 Renew. This is, of course, an illustration of the balances within the national governments, but this does not reflect the balance in the European Parliament. And I think it will be very interesting to see how the socialists in particular, and even Renew, will react to this situation, which is very unbalanced. For instance, there is an issue on Mr. Schmidt, Nicolas Schmidt, who was the Spitzenkandidat for the Socialists, and who
candidate.
Was not proposed by the government of Luxembourg. The government of Luxembourg, which is at the moment dominated by the EPP, has proposed an EPP commissioner, and many people in the parliament and in the socialist group say, okay, why did he do so? He should have proposed a socialist, as it happens in some countries, where they nominated persons which are not belonging to the main party, just to have a balance. So for me, this will be a big problem. And Renew also has a limited number of proposed commissioners, which does not necessarily reflect the situation in the parliament. One should never forget that in the European Parliament, there is a sort of big coalition, pro-European coalition, to be very simplistic, composed of the EPP, the Socialists, Renew, and now the Greens. So they have to agree to the future commission. If the Socialists say, we don't agree because there are not enough Socialist commissioners, there is no commission.
Let's talk about the next mandate, though, because we don't have much time. Adina Revol, we're now hearing that these hearings might not happen till October. There might only be a December start date for the new European Commission. We'll have to see. But does that create a kind of political limbo when there are some very big dossiers to actually tackle in terms of policy?
The current commission is ongoing, and its mandate is until end October, and it can go ahead if necessary. And for instance, on some very important files, like the implementation of the post-COVID recovery plan, works is going ahead in continuation with the member states. And I mentioned this very important file, for instance, because this post-COVID recovery plan was meant to build the Europe for 2030, and it tackles with very important investments in terms of green transition, digital transition, which are key to build Europe's sovereignty, which again will be a priority for the next commission, because in the world we are living now, cementing Europe's sovereignty in key area is crucial.
Yes, so obviously there's a lot of work that will continue into October with the current European Commission. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you, Adina Revol and Christine Verger. That's all for this episode of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.